You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to First Take. My name is Shea Cornett. You know him, Stephen A. Smith. And that is Jason Williams. Yes, we will hear from Dan Orlowski later on. But as Stephen A. told us, yeah, shaking our head this morning a little bit. Those Nets, those Lakers, man.
Yeah.
Giving everyone a little heart palpitations here as we get closer and closer to those playoffs. Speaking of those Nets, why don't we just start right there? Because very different feeling if you're on that Brooklyn team waking up this morning as it was, I don't know, say yesterday. One night after absolutely demolishing the Magic on the road with Kyrie, the Nets lost at home without Kyrie on a buzzer beater to the Mavs. To make matters worse, it came at the hands of a former Net in Spencer Dinwiddie, whose three gave the Mavs the 113-111 W. Brooklyn, a very different team with Kyrie Irving on the court, as you can imagine. In the 19 games he's played this season, they're shooting more efficiently and scoring more points. More than 118 points per game, that is, which would be the most in the NBA. Remember, no Kyrie Irving in the next two as well, as they play at home against Portland and against Utah. So now, of course, no Kyrie Irving on the floor last night. They take an L. So by Kyrie not being on the floor, Stephen A., I mean, is this Net letting this entire Nets team down?
Without question. Jay knows this. He tried to not only wants to, but it's the absolute truth. In all seriousness, here's my thing. How can we rave about Kyrie Irving and the sensational talent that he is and the 60-point explosion that he had against Orlando, but we don't bring him up when he's not on the court and they lose to Dallas? I can't wait for you to try to explain that one. You don't get to have it both ways. You can't sit up there and credit him when he's spectacular and talk about how phenomenal he is, which is true, because he is phenomenal. He is sensational. He is box office. As Jay knows, Shay, I've been on the record stating this on several occasions. Kyrie Irving is box office. I'd pay him $50 million a year. He's worth it. You walk through the turnstiles to see this brother perform. All right, but I'd never give him a long-term contract again in his NBA career because he can't be trusted to be there, and the record shows it. Now, what I'm saying is this. The night before, albeit against the Orlando Magic, it doesn't take away the sensational performance that he put forth, how pure of an offensive juggernaut this brother is. He is something special to behold. But yet, we going to sit up there the next game when Luka Doncic is in the house and KD got to go it alone, okay? Because we learned the Ben Simmons back injury and what have you. And Jay, just so you know, I don't know if you saw me say this last night, but as an aside, me getting on Ben Simmons, I had to stop. We can't have it both ways. We can't sit up there and say, listen to the medical professionals, all right, when it comes to the vaccine. But then when he has a back injury and what have you, and the medical professionals are saying that, we ignore that. No, fair is fair. They say he's got a back injury, I stand down. He's got a back injury. I hope Ben Simmons gets well so I can see this brother on the court because he's sensational in his own right in certain ways as well. But when it comes to Kyrie Irving, this brother is spectacular. He's a difference maker. And I'll go down the list, Jay, for you. Remember when they had that 11-game losing streak?
Mm-hmm.
They lost to the Lakers. Do they lose to the Lakers if Kyrie Irving's on the court?
No.
They lost, I'm looking, to the Sacramento Kings. Does that have, I mean, well, then again, Kyrie was on the court for that. When I'm looking at this, the Washington Wizards, he was on the court for that, too. I'm just looking at some of these teams, and I'm looking at last night's loss at home in Brooklyn against the Dallas Mavericks, and I'm saying, do you lose that game if Kyrie Irving is on the court? The answer would be no. I think they win that game last night if Kyrie is on the court. So if we're going to give him credit when he's spectacular, we also got to point the finger at him when he ain't there. That's where I'm at.
S.A.,
yes.
We talk about this every day like we expect something to change as it relates to Kyrie getting vaccinated.
No, I'm not saying you do. Right, right.
And I know that people were expecting, I know I did, expecting circumstances to change, the private sector mandate. But I've known what this is from the beginning with Kyrie.
Mm-hmm.
He's made his statement that he wasn't going to play. So, you know, I'm not saying that Kyrie doesn't deserve some blame. Of course, I would love to have Kyrie on the court and play against the likes of who they played last night in the Dallas Mavericks. Of course, I would love to see him on the court against the New York Knicks. But it feels like we can't let that go, even though we know what it is. Mm-hmm. We know what it is, but we're always going to try to find some way to bring it back to Kyrie and make it his fault. Mm-hmm. When he's told you exactly what this was from the beginning. Mm-hmm. So does that never stop?
No.
Is it forever from now on? Because I've heard multiple. I mean, I feel like if Stephen A.'s car got towed in New York, Kyrie Irving, damn it! If Stephen A.'s plane got delayed, Kyrie Irving, the wind! If it's him going to a mm-hmm. game to see a Knicks, mm-hmm. even though he's allowed to be in the building, mm-hmm. he shouldn't be there. He's showing up. He's trying to. It feels like everything he does, there's something that you find wrong with it. So what can this man do?
Okay.
And
okay.
Hold on, let me finish my point. The only thing I want to say to you is
you sounded like you're asking questions.
I'm not.
Ready to answer
no, they're rhetorical okay. questions. Okay. They're not meant for you to answer. Okay. You do it to me all the time, brother. Okay. All I'm saying.
But okay, go ahead. I don't. I actually say what
I just said. No, okay. you.
I just say what I have
you
to say.
You do it. You do it.
What is your point?
This is part of your performance art. I've seen it.
Okay.
All I'm saying to you is if we know what it is, why does it always seem to come back to be his fault for something? It feels like it's just dumb because it's what,
right.
It's what. Oh, this creates a ripple effect, so we're going to talk about it again when that's not the case.
Okay. So let me answer your questions directly and specifically because it's about time, bro, that you man up and just accept the situation.
I do accept the situation.
No. It's basketball. It's the basketball season.
Yes.
It's not like we're talking about Kyrie while summer baseball is being played. We're in the throes of a basketball season. The playoffs are approaching, and we're looking at a Brooklyn team with him, and we're looking at a Brooklyn team without him.
Yes, understand.
With him, they can win the chip. Without him, there's no way in hell it happens. Period. So now when you get to that point, we're talking about this guy and his decision, whether we agree with it or not, costing them a championship.
Yes.
That's what we're talking about. You're in the sports talking business. So my question to you, rhetorically, would be, why are you even in the business if you can't talk about Kyrie? He's relevant. Everything we're talking about is relevant. I didn't bring him up about my car. I didn't bring him up about it getting towed. And by the way, I don't like you bringing that up because it did get towed a couple of weeks ago. Okay, and I had to go and get it back. So I don't like the fact that you brought up that bad memory when I got to go online and get my damn car back because I had an unpaid ticket I didn't know about, a parking ticket, okay? But neither here nor there. The point that I'm making is I didn't bring him up then. I didn't bring him up then. When I brought him up in the stands, why did I bring him up in the stands? Because despite my disgust with the decisions that he's made, I have been on the record on national television saying the mandate is a joke. It should be lifted. Mayor Adams, I understand that you didn't make the policy, but the bottom line is you're the mayor. You're the head man in charge right now in New York City. You have the power to lift that mandate. You've lifted it for K-12 public schools. How the hell you got fans coming into the Barclays Center unvaccinated. How come Kyrie Irving can't play? So I've defended him in that regard.
Yes.
I've pointed that out. But the point is, if you show up to the Barclays Center, what happens is you might come across as antagonizing the mayor, thereby giving him less incentive to do what's right. But that's why I brought that up. That's why Mike Wilbon brought it up. That's why everybody brought it up. Because we're saying, why are you antagonizing the situation? You got to handle it diplomatically and delicately because this man has the power to change course, which he should, so Kyrie can play. He should. Not just for that reason, but he should.
But it sounds like you're directing your energy towards Kyrie, and I'm saying the energy should be directed towards the situation. Like, you just described the situation about the mandate being lifted for kids in grammar school, right? So, like, that's my thing. Like, if you're angry about the situation, but it feels like you always flip it back to Kyrie.
Well, listen, it's two things. I've done both. The same guy that's going at Kyrie is the same guy that says the mandate should be lifted.
But you can't blame Kyrie if you see what the situation is.
Oh, I most certainly can. Because what did we say? Must I rewind the clock and remind you what we argued about? This is where you and I are diametrically opposed, so let's remind our audience of where we stand. I am of the position that because you got cats to go to Brooklyn, that because the league mandate is what it is, and because 99% of the league ultimately made the sacrifice because they got a job to do, you should have done it too. You disagree. You talk about putting self in your body and all of this other stuff, and I respect that, but I disagree. Because my hope,
understood.
Listen, and bottom line is this, I didn't necessarily want to take the vaccine, but I was going to because I knew it was the right thing to do, specifically because my employer says, listen, you got to work. You got a team to look out for. This is what our conditions are. I'm looking at millions upon millions of people across the country. This is what the mandate is. I'm looking at the NBA. A lot of your teammates did not want to take the vaccine, but they did it. You are holding out. Fine. But in the process of holding out, just understand, you could potentially cost your team a championship because with Kyrie on the floor, with KD, they are that lethal. They can beat anybody. That's Milwaukee. That's Philly. That's Miami. I'm not saying definitively it will happen, but I believe they can beat anybody. The Warriors, the Phoenix Suns, them two together on their game could win the whole thing. And in the end, when we look at them, because we know what KD's going to bring, when we look at them, if they don't do it, what's going to be the reason it didn't happen?
So, is Kevin Durant angry at Kyrie Irving?
No, clearly not.
He's not.
Oh, really? We want to go
there? He's not.
We want to go there.
I'm going there. I've already been there.
Go ahead.
He's not angry at Kyrie.
Go ahead.
So I get your
Kevin
frustration.
Kevin Durant, He did this. Go ahead.
Kevin's angry at the situation. That's what I've heard. I mean, Nick Riddell was on our show earlier talking about
multiple conversations with Kevin Durant about the fact about the situation
being something that KD's more angry about than Kyrie Irving.
Okay.
So all I'm sitting here saying is, yeah, it's frustrating as a fan to see Kyrie Irving one night drop 60.
Right.
I get where your animosity, where your frustration comes from.
I want to see him play.
You want to see people ball out.
But what I'm trying to tell you is
because he's not giving you what you want, not giving fans what. Like, it's still a part of the situation for him.
Wow.
And it's because he's not vaccinated.
Hold on. Kevin Durant, this is not me. Jay Williams started this. I wasn't going here. Okay, let's go to KD. Kevin Durant. Is he playing?
Yes.
Why is he playing?
Because he wants to win.
Okay.
So he doesn't have an issue with taking the vaccine.
Excuse me. He didn't necessarily want to take it from what I was told. He just did it because guess what? That's the mandate.
That's his choice.
Come on. And it's the mandate he wants.
Yes.
Don't give me choices. We all know everybody has the right to make their choice.
Yeah, but you're making it sound like I felt a little bit pressured to take it because I want to win a championship.
No.
Okay.
No. What I'm saying is Kevin Durant wants the ball. Kevin Durant wants to win the championship, and in order to do it,
oh my goodness.
In order to do it, he had to go and get vaccinated. At the end of the day, when is Jay Williams, I'm talking directly to you, when is Jay Williams going to step back and go like this? You got the right to make that choice.
You do.
But your choice is costing y'all the championship. When are you going to say that?
That's fine, but it's
when are you gonna say it?
Because
say it.
You don't put enough credence into unprecedented times.
Wow.
You tie everything that's happened with Kyrie before in the past, which you and I have gone back. I've been on the same side with you about multiple times.
Right.
Because now it's unprecedented. You tie that into the other hook of it's always something.
It is true.
So the reality of the situation is when Kyrie Irving's not on the floor, they're usually in close games, right? Kevin Durant can't always carry them over the threshold, which we saw yesterday. It's close against
the Knicks. And Kyrie could have carried them.
Close against the Mets.
KD was hurt.
Exactly.
They need each other.
Yes.
But we need to move on. So let's do that. We're going to stay in the NBA, though, because it is time for a quick take. You mentioned how the Nets could basically beat anyone, but could they possibly beat Boston yesterday? The Celtics faced off with the Warriors. Steph Curry ruled out of the second half of last night's game after his leg got rolled on by Marcus Smart. Stephen A., was this a dirty play?
It wasn't a dirty play. I don't believe that. Marcus Smart is a rough rider. He's an elite defensive player, high-energy player. He was going after the ball. He didn't intentionally try to hurt Steph Curry, and I don't believe that's what Steve Kerr was saying in defense of Steve Kerr. What Steve Kerr was saying is that even though you're going all out with your effort, you should want to safeguard for the integrity of the game. In other words, you going out there, just don't be as reckless. It's a play in the middle of a game or whatever. He's saying that, you know what, you could have avoided being as reckless as you were. That's what he was saying. Marcus Smart doesn't play like that. He plays with reckless abandon.
Yeah.
And that play last night was the latest example of it. I don't believe he intentionally hurt Steph Curry at all.
We're on the same side. If that is what Steve Kerr said, Steve Kerr's wrong. So what I was taught, and I've heard this from Pat Riley, I've heard this from Greg Popovich, I've heard this from Coach K, sometimes the difference between winning and losing games, when there's a 50-50 ball, one player will bend down at the knees to try to get it, The player willing to dive on the ground, those are championship mentalities. And that's why they've been the best defensive team for the past 2 months in the NBA.
Yeah, I agree with you. I didn't think it was a dirty play. It's how Marcus Smart plays. Aggressive, hustle play, all of the things. All right, let's move to the NFL because we're all sitting over here on Deshaun Watson watch as several NFL teams met with him over the last couple of days after a grand jury declined to indict him on criminal charges. Among the teams that did meet with Watson, the Browns, the Falcons, the Saints, the Panthers, we know this. Now, the last time we saw Watson under center, he did lead the league in passing yards. But the reality of the situation is he hasn't played in a year. We still don't know if or how the NFL is going to punish Watson. So let's bring in Dan Orlowski here. And so, Dan, when you look at the situation and the NFL basically as a whole, let's take the off-the-field issues off the table. How many quarterbacks are better than Deshaun Watson?
Zero. There's no quarterback in the NFL that is a flat-out better player than Deshaun Watson. Two years ago, there was conversations of, well, if Deshaun Watson was drafted to the same place as Patrick Mahomes, would he be doing the same stuff as Patrick Mahomes? And that's when Patrick was taking the league by absolute storm. There's not a quarterback that you sit there and go, that guy's unequivocally a better player. He's just been in a really bad situation in Houston. I mean, his tape is out of this world. Stephen A., in 2020, Deshaun Watson completed over 70% of his passes and had over 8.5 yards an attempt. Now, for everybody at home, that matters because when you're completing a high clip of passes, 70-plus percent, oftentimes it could be because you're just throwing the ball short. Those are easy. When you're going 8.5 yards per attempt, that oftentimes will lead the NFL. There's been four other guys in the history of the league who have done that, okay? Again, 8.5 yards per attempt or more, 70% completion percentage. It was last year Joe Burrow. He went to the Super Bowl. It was 2009 Drew Brees. He went to the Super Bowl. It was 1994 Steve Young. He went to the Super Bowl. It was 1989 Joe Montana. He went to the Super Bowl. When Deshaun Watson did it in 2020, they were 4-12. That's a bad football team. I mean, what about what can he do or what can other guys do with their game that Deshaun can't? We've got to get out of this world in the NFL of, like, who's the top five quarterback. We don't have five top quarterbacks. We've got 10 quarterbacks in the league. This is a new era in the NFL. There are not five elite. There is no top five. There's 10. There are 10 guys at that position in the NFL that they're all the same, that you can win many games and Super Bowls because of them. There's not a guy in the NFL on the field talent-wise that is just flat out better than Deshaun Watson.
You're wrong. Aaron Rodgers is better.
No, he's not.
Yes, he is.
No, he's not.
Yes, he is.
What?
Yes, he is.
Oh, how?
Excuse me. I don't have to. He's a reigning two-time league MVP, and I continuously throw out numbers over and over and over again about him, as have you. So let's go to the eye test and understand something here, okay? And I understand that I'm talking to an exceptional aficionado in the NFL who played the quarterback position. I won't hold the fact that it was for the Detroit Lions against you, which is football purgatory. I'll let that go today. But here's the bottom line. Here's the bottom line, okay? I mean, well, then again, I will bring it up because when you're a Detroit Lion, everybody looks good to you. I mean, that's entirely possible, okay? I mean, everything is on the way up. Deshaun Watson, let's understand this. This brother is a stud, and I get all of that. But what I'm saying to you is that when I think about Patrick Mahomes, when I think about Aaron Rodgers, when I think about the seven-time champion that is Tom Brady, when I think about everything that involves the quarterback position, it's not just your passing ability. It's not just your ability to run. It's the decision-making that you exercise, not to mention the leadership that you exert. All of these things come into play. It's why you rave about Tom Brady. We know that Tom Brady ain't the athlete that Deshaun Watson is. We know that. But somehow, some way, his impact on winning football games is incredibly profound because of how cerebral he is with the game of football. So we get that and we take that into consideration. Well, we can't take that into consideration about Tom Brady and ignore it about Aaron Rodgers. And then when you take into account Patrick Mahomes and how he was balling, we certainly said, I was the one who said, Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, give Deshaun Watson those weapons and see what he does as well. But that wasn't to sit up there and to say he was better than Patrick Mahomes. It was to say, excuse me, he's in that conversation. He's in that ballpark. He's on the one on the come up and whatever. When I look at the top quarterbacks of the National Football League, I think about Tom Brady, I think about Aaron Rodgers, I think about Patrick Mahomes, and then
as I was explaining to Mad Dog Russo yesterday, Deshaun Watson is in that conversation with everybody else. But there's a top three, as far as I'm concerned, that we look at and we go and we stop right there. What's the problem?
No.
Now, hold on for a second. Last year was a down year for Patrick Mahomes in my estimation. But we can't give Deshaun Watson any credit for that because he's been out the whole year. So we didn't see him at all last year. Okay, that was a down year for Patrick Mahomes.
That doesn't make him a lesser player. Hold on. So, Stephen A., you mean to tell me that you don't believe that Josh Allen is in that top group?
Yeah, I believe he's in the top group. I just
said...
Well, you just said it was... Tell me, I said my top three. But what I'm saying, I'm not trying to say that there's a drop-off from that. But I'm saying when I think about the top three quarterbacks in the National Football League, it's those three. And then I think about the Josh Allens, the Deshaun Watsons of the world, and Joe Burrows of the world, the Justin Herberts of the world, guys like that. They're all in the same conversation.
Russell. But that's
Russell
my point.
Of course, Russell Wilson. Of course, Russell
and
Wilson.
And Lamar Jackson. That's my point. And Matthew
and
Stafford. There's 10 guys.
Time out.
10.
Lamar Jackson. I'm not denying that it's 10. I'm just saying that I think the top three is not debatable. I don't think it's
I'll
debatable.
Ask you this.
Mahomes, Rodgers, and Brady. That's what I'm saying.
It's 100% debatable. I will ask you this. Okay. If you took Deshaun, who do you think are, like, the best teams in the NFL right now? I know it's March 17th. Like, the Buffalo Bills are Super Bowl contenders.
The Rams are Super Bowl champions. The Buffalo Bills, Super Bowl contenders.
Okay,
Kansas City. Cincinnati was in the Super Bowl. Can't ignore that. Green Bay should have been there. Can't ignore that.
If you put Deshaun Watson on the Buffalo Bills, are they still an elite Super Bowl contender?
Yes.
How about that on the Los Angeles Rams?
No. Let me stop you. You put Deshaun Watson on any team, they're a Super Bowl contender.
How can you sit here and say that any of those quarterbacks are better?
I'm just saying that Aaron Rodgers. Hold on. We're talking Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, and Patrick Mahomes. When you think about the top quarterbacks in the National Football League, those three names are going to come up first.
If I took Deshaun Watson and I put him on the Kansas City Chiefs right now, do you still have the same view of the Kansas City Chiefs as you do when they have Patrick Mahomes?
I still do, but in the same breath, I've seen Deshaun Watson perform very well in the playoffs, and I've seen him tail off in the playoffs. What I'm saying to you is that just because I might see him in that light doesn't mean that he would specifically do what Patrick Mahomes has done. I believe he can. But based on what we have seen thus far, I think you're looking at Mahomes, Rodgers, and Brady, and you get what you get.
Can we just be honest here? Deshaun Watson has won one playoff game. One playoff game. Tom Brady's chilling with seven rings. Like, okay, to me, this is almost disrespectful to even have him in the same conversation as these guys.
Well, because we're talking talent. Like, we're just talking
your
ability to play the position. And we can't compare Tom to anybody. Tom is in a stratosphere of his own when it comes to the ability to achieve the greatest goal, which is win the Super Bowl. Deshaun Watson, in 2020, with a bad football team, accounted for 83% of their offense. No one in the history of the league has done that at that position.
Hold on.
We can't sit here and say it's a dependent position. What?
Here's what I'm saying. Lamar Jackson's a former league MVP.
Correct.
I believe that Lamar Jackson as a talent is on par with most of those guys we're talking about.
Correct.
I agree.
As a passer of the football, no. Cam Newton was a league MVP, and I always said, love Cam. Phenomenal athlete. But as a passer of the football, no. I remember, and not to even come across as if he belongs in this conversation, no disrespect to my friend Tim Tebow. But when everybody was raving about him because he was making a difference quarterback for the Denver Broncos, with the leading the number one rushing attack because he ran with the football, what did I religiously say? He can't throw. If you're playing a quarterback position, I'm going to eye your ability to throw the football. And when I look at Lamar Jackson, as spectacular as he is, as important as he is, as much as he means to that Baltimore Ravens offense playing the quarterback position, I think when we're talking about the elite passers in the game, Lamar Jackson is not in that stratosphere. So when we're talking about it from a talent perspective, I'm going to take all of those things into consideration.
All those
You're just looking at the 83% of the offense that he applied for.
All those quarterbacks are just as good as each other.
I agree.
There's 10 elite.
Go ahead.
But you said, Dan, that there are none better than him.
There's none better.
Correct.
And I think that's what got me at least riled up a little bit. All right, we got to move on here. Colin Kaepernick staying ready for the NFL. The question is the NFL, though, ready for him? The former 49ers quarterback posted a video of himself working out and throwing. The Seahawks receiver, Tyler Lockett, noticed it. Seattle might have room for another quarterback after finishing last in the NFC West last season and trading quarterback Russell Wilson away. We know this. They currently have a QB room featuring Drew Lock and Geno Smith. Pete Carroll spoke about Kaepernick. Take a listen.
You're going to ask questions about Colin Kaepernick. I mean, I know. You're going to ask, so let me just put it out there. He contacted me the other day, said, hey, I'd like to get a shot. You know, I'm working out. And so he sent me some videos. The next thing I know, he's working out with Tyler Lockett. I don't know how that happened. But does that guy deserve a second shot? I think he does. Somewhere. I don't know if it's here. I don't know where it is. I don't know if it's even in football. I don't know.
All right, so the reality is he hasn't played since 2016, but we're asking if he should get an invite to a workout or to a tryout. Ryan Clark here with us now. But Stephen A., what do you think? Should Kaepernick get a tryout?
He should have gotten a tryout. Let's just take this into consideration. The backup quarterback in Seattle, which is why Pete Carroll's getting on my nerves continuously bringing up Colin Kaepernick as if he can't help it. You know, he's helpless. You could bring him in. You know what I'm saying? You could sit up there and put him on a team if you wanted to. Geno Smith was your backup quarterback in Seattle last year. Mm-hmm. Mason Rudolph is the backup quarterback with the Pittsburgh Steelers, and Mike Tomlin is the coach. Mason Rudolph and Dwayne Haskins. Chase Daniels is a backup quarterback in the National Football League. And Colin Kaepernick still doesn't have a job. We all know that Colin Kaepernick deserves a shot. We know that he deserves another chance. I personally believe this is all a publicity stunt on his part. This is all a publicity stunt. I don't care what anybody say. I'm done with all of this with Colin Kaepernick because, again, you had an opportunity for 26 teams to look at you while the world was transfixed on a potential workout at the Atlanta Falcons facility a couple of years ago, and you passed. I know the waiver issue. I know that the NFL was suspect with it, even though that was the first workout, RC, that they ever conducted. I mean, the NFL has never conducted an individual workout for any player in its history. I get all of that. I understand it. I'm not knocking it. I understand the suspicion, but here's my point. Colin Kaepernick sued the National Football League. Clearly, you didn't trust him. You settled the case. Clearly, you didn't like them, okay? So think about that. So when they came and offered you the opportunity to work, you knew it was going to be some things about it that you didn't like. But Ryan Clark was watching. Stephen A. was watching. The whole sports media world was watching. The political world was watching since the issue of Colin Kaepernick had been politicized. The entire football world and beyond were looking forward to seeing Colin Kaepernick perform in front of the cameras, video equipment, NFL stuff, all of that, that Ryan is far more qualified to speak on than I could ever hope to. And he elected not to show up. So as far as I'm concerned, you know, I know he's got a big-time documentary coming out. You know, Spike Lee directed it and all of this other stuff. And I watch that. Damn it, look forward to it. I encourage everybody to watch it because we're going to learn a lot. RC was interviewed for it. I'm interviewed for it, the whole bit. But the bottom line is, let's not act like we don't know what's going on. He was blackballed. It was unfair. It was wrong. It's been wrong. And all of these teams are just giving lip service. Until somebody actually brings them in, they can all kick rocks because they're all full of it, all right? Because he should have been had a tryout. He should have been on an NFL team. But he also hurt himself because there was a way to work around this, and he didn't want to do it. So he's culpable, too. That's where I stand with this, RC.
I mean, he has a place
since 2016. Are you saying it's a publicity stunt by Colin Kaepernick, what he's doing right now, or it was for Pete Carroll to say what
both
he said?
Both, because I think that Colin Kaepernick, knows he doesn't expect a fair shot. So what's all of this noise about? You know they ain't going to give you a fair shot. That's why you didn't show up for the workout. Why should we believe that he really, really, truly wants to play? Because the same people you didn't trust before are the same people that's still there.
Well, I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to tell you who really, really doesn't want to play. Ryan Clark. You are looking at a guy who really, really doesn't want to play football anymore. Right. And you know what I've done for the last 5 years? I've done executive workouts, made sure I broke a sweat and could fit into these suits. That's all I've done. What I ain't done is what Colin Kaepernick has done, which is trained for the last 5 years. I'm not doing that because I don't want to play. And people who don't want to play don't do those things, Stephen A. And I don't believe it's a publicity stunt. I believe he truly wants to get back on the field field, and I feel like he's always wanted to do that. But what you were asking Colin Kaepernick to do when it pertained to that workout was compromise himself, was take a level of disrespect that he wasn't willing to take.
And Explain that. What do you mean level of disrespect?
So the first part about it is you don't have the workout on a Saturday. There are no workouts held on Saturdays. The reason being is teams are preparing to play. Teams are preparing for their weekends. You have workouts on Tuesday. On Tuesday is the day off for the whole entire NFL. Maybe one team may be off on a Monday. That's something Chip Kelly used to do. That's why workouts aren't on a Saturday. And then you ask him to sign a waiver that in some way compromises his position. He didn't want to do that. We're asking a man who was willing to give up his career, who was willing to kneel during the national anthem while we had someone in office that put the spotlight on him as a son of a bitch. And he was willing to continue doing that because he felt like it was bigger than Colin Kaepernick, to now compromise Colin Kaepernick based on a workout you don't believe in. And then because of that, say we believe that what he's doing now was a publicity stunt. Those two things don't have to connect to me.
Well, let me respond to that. Let me respond to that, because I'm open to being corrected on this, because what you're telling me, here's my response to this. I was told by numerous teams, by league officials, and even the Players Association, that, again, the NFL has never conducted a workout for a single player in NFL history. It's not what they do. That's a team's responsibility.
Yes.
But the teams were petrified that if they brought him in for a tryout and that they didn't want him, that he would sit up there and question the validity and legitimacy of the workout and therefore cast them in a very, very negative light, which would subject them to potential lawsuits and stuff like that. This is what they were saying. So my point to you is this. If we take all of those things into consideration, and what I mean when I say publicity stunt, I don't mean he doesn't want to play football. That's where I think people are misconstruing what I'm saying. I'm not saying he doesn't want to play football. I'm saying it's a publicity stunt from the standpoint, you know you can't trust them. You've never trusted them. You never will trust them. You have very low expectations for the very league and the very teams that you're trying to play for. So going through all of this, knowing that you don't trust them, which led to you not wanting to do the workout that they wanted you to do. That's what I'm trying to say. I'm not trying to imply that he literally doesn't want to play. I'm saying the same trepidation that you had before, you still have. And so when you bring up a Saturday workout, my only question is this. Based on all of those circumstances, why is it beyond the pale that, oh, a Saturday workout is just completely off kilter, particularly when 26 teams showed up and 18 teams sent black individuals to show up on their behalf?
Well, this is the first thing, right? The first thing is, if you wouldn't send 18 black individuals to watch a white quarterback throw, don't send 18 black individuals to watch Colin Kaepernick throw. And the only reason you have to make a special concession to have a workout for one man when you've never done it before is because you know he was blackballed. You know that the reason he isn't in the league isn't because he can't play football.
Which they basically admit it.
Yeah, the league. And so that's why the league was doing this, because they couldn't put it on the teams. Whether the teams want to make the excuse, we felt like if we brought him in, the backlash that we could get from him if we don't pick him up could be A, B, and C. The teams could say that if they want to. What the teams were more worried about was the people who were going to have an issue with you bringing Colin Kaepernick in. Because the one thing that we know about football, when you look on the field, it's 70% African American. The further you move up toward the executive boxes, the less black it gets. Yeah. The people in the stands, the people in the suites, the people in the executive offices, the GMs, the scouts, it gets whiter and whiter as you move up the stadium.
That's right.
And they
absolutely
were concerned
true.
With those people. A lot of the sponsors and the names you see in the stadiums, those names are white companies as well. They were worried about the money they would lose if you brought Colin Kaepernick in. Listen, you are not going to pee on my face and tell me it's rain. I'm not going to allow people to do that. Now, I get the trepidations that team have because green is truly the color that matters most. It's not white. It's not black. It's not any other color. So all of those things I understand. But we can't sit here and not understand why Colin Kaepernick wouldn't trust that workout or why Colin Kaepernick or how Colin Kaepernick does understand the only reason that Stephen A. on First Take, the largest voice in sports, is talking about Colin Kaepernick today is because Colin Kaepernick put out a video, because Colin Kaepernick let the world know he still wants to play. And the reason that Pete Carroll had to speak on him is because Colin Kaepernick let the world know that he's still working and that he's still training. The squeaky wheel gets the oil. If Colin Kaepernick just went away like everybody in the NFL wants him to do, they just want him to go away. If he just did that, we would not be talking about him anymore. We would be waiting on Spike Lee's documentary, which I know you are on because you were interviewed right after me, and I'm sure you did an excellent job, and that's the only time we'd hear from him from here on out. He had to do this if he truly wants to play.
Well, what we know is that Pete Carroll can welcome him into a workout.
Anytime.
He does. If
all
he
this
does
talking. And all these coaches could call him in.
Exactly.
They're full of crap.
All right.
They're full of it.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/First Take. That's Amazon.com/First Take to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Hey, hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take Podcast. We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
All right, look at all the brackets that have already been created. March Madness is here and upon us. 18 million over that already created here with the ESPN Tournament Challenge. Download the Tournament Challenge app and fill out your men's brackets before they close at noon Eastern today. Time is a ticking. And last night, the play-in games, they did not disappoint. A double overtime thriller last night. Notre Dame creeping into St. Patrick's Day, edged out Rutgers 89-87. Blake Wesley tied the game late in the first overtime for Notre Dame. And in double OT, it was Paul Atkinson who scored the go-ahead bucket with time winding down as Notre Dame now advances to face Alabama tomorrow. March Madness finally here, and nobody better to break it down with than our own Seth Greenberg. Seth, for anyone who's still maybe trying to fill out the bracket, those people are very last minute, as we well know. Who has the best chance to pull an upset today?
Michigan over Colorado State. If you think about Michigan, and I understand that they're going to be without Devontae Jones, but I still think they'll be able to deal with it. Eli Brooks is going to be a solid backup at that position. He's a starter. He's played a ton of basketball. But Hunter Dickinson's just different. I mean, their ability to play through Hunter Dickinson, when they play through Hunter Dickinson, what happens? Caleb Houston gets open jumpers. Diabite gets to the offensive glass. I think defensively, they'll be active and alert defensively. They're really hard to score against. And Colorado State's a little undersized. David Roddy from Colorado State is absolutely terrific. But I think the size, the length, the athleticism of Michigan will be the difference in this game as long as they play through Hunter Dickinson.
Coach, I got Auburn coming out of the Midwest region, but I got to tell you, I'm paying attention to Iowa. I mean, I like what I see from these brothers right here, the Murray brothers, particularly this guy Keegan, and Bohannon could shoot. And anytime you're talking about the NCAA tournament, when you got brothers that can put in buckets from the perimeter, okay, that definitely is something I think we should be paying attention to. What are your thoughts on Iowa?
I love Iowa. Absolutely love them. I'm happy that you're kind of leaning against Auburn because Auburn, you know, they got a guy named KD Johnson the other day. He was 0 for 14. He should have stopped when he was 0 for 10. Yeah. You don't have to get to 0 for 14. But
yeah.
I love this Iowa team. I'll tell you why I love this Iowa team. Keegan Murray is a pro. He might be the second pick in the NBA draft. He might be the first pick in the NBA draft.
He's 6'9".
Huh?
What?
First, he might be the first pick in the NBA draft.
Over Ben Carroll and those boys?
Ben Carroll's not even – Ben Carroll's 5'6" or 7". Let me get to Keegan Murray. Let me explain this to you, Stephen A. 6'9", 40 from the three, 2 blocks a game, 1.5 steals, can shoot the three, can beat you off the bounce, can play in the mid-post. The dude is a human bucket.
He
and his Iowa
nice
team
game.
Is for real because they're also defending. Nice they're game. Extending their defense more, create a turnover 20% of their possessions. They have more dudes that can make plays. But Keegan Murray – is no joke. Johnny Davis, Keegan Murray, Jaden Ivey, Chet Holmgren. I take all those guys over Paul Banchero.
All right, Seth, let's look ahead to some matchups today as I sip my Indiana mug here. Is there a matchup you're most looking forward to watching perhaps today?
You know, there's a couple. I think Duke, North Carolina. I mean, North Carolina against Marquette, I think, is a big one. By the way, you're sipping that mug, but your husband, he's a happy man right now.
Yes.
There's no doubt about it. He probably had to sleep in after that. You know, he's probably up late celebrating St. Patrick's Day all that time at Notre Dame.
No doubt. But
North Carolina, Marquette's going to be a heck of a game. The game's going to go up and down. Both teams play at a fast pace. Marquette plays actually faster, fifth fastest tempo in college basketball. Marquette's got guys that can make plays. To me, the Lewis kid is absolutely dynamic. He's a Baltimore 6-foot hybrid forward that can really, really kind of go. And Tyler Kolek is a terrific passer at the point. But North Carolina, I'm high in North Carolina. I think North Carolina's going to win this game for a couple of reasons. First and foremost, Armando Bacot, all right, 24 double-doubles. When they play through him, good things happen. He rebounds the basketball. Then when you look at on the wing, you know, they've got R.J. Davis, who's a dynamic point guard that's getting in the lane, making plays. Brady Manek knocks down threes. And at the end of the game, Caleb Love is a guy that's not afraid to take and make big shots. I like Carolina.
You know what? Let me give you my final four. Let me hear what you think about it. I got Arizona out of the South, Auburn out of the Midwest. I got Kentucky out of the East. And I got Texas Tech. I mean, I'm just guessing because, damn it, I ain't seen that many games.
I just threw it out there.
I said, let me take – I always got to pick at least one Cinderella type or something like that, even though they're a number three seed. I want to know what you think about Texas Tech because I know what you think about Kentucky. We can't ignore Arizona, not the way they play defense. They're 31-3 for a reason. And Auburn and Bruce Pearl, those boys, I know I've seen a couple of losses. Didn't like what I saw in a couple, but for the most part, they've had a pretty damn good season. They're a number two seed for a reason. What are your thoughts about Texas Tech?
Stephen A., if you're going to take a flyer, actually, I can't kill you on this. I wanted to be able to kill you on this, but I can't kill you on this, even though you don't understand how good Gonzaga is, because Gonzaga's season just started today.
I know they're good.
It started today because, you know what? Gonzaga, they've been to Final Fours, but they haven't won national championships, so we only judge them on national championship. But Texas Tech is a good pick, because I'll tell you what. They are an elite defensive team. Mark Adams has done a great job. They got a hardness, a toughness about them. Defensively, they keep you on one side of the floor. They don't let you reverse the ball. You can't score in the paint against them. At times, they can get stuck offensively. But you know what? I'm a big Texas Tech fan. I don't think they can get past Gonzaga, but I don't think that's a terrible, terrible pick. I've seen worse picks. So I look at your Final Four, not bad. I'm not sold on Auburn. I love Bruce Pearl. He's my guy. We used to do coach-to-coach together, but the backcourt play of Auburn is suspect. Their decision-making, their shot selection at the end of the game, not good. Throw the ball to Jabari Smith. That dude's going to be the number one pick in the draft. He reminds me of Kevin Durant. Throw him the ball, defer, and get that dude the basketball. I'm not crazy. I'm mad about Texas Tech. I'd like to kind of kill you on it, but I can't. And I have Kentucky and Arizona, and I've got Arizona winning the thing.
I mean, Seth's thrown out a lot of bold statements here, comparing players to Kevin Durant.
He can get
Coach can get hyperbolic from time to time. We know this. But he and I do agree. We both have Arizona winning the national championship.
As do I, so I like it. Seth Greenberg, I know you are a busy man this time of year, not getting much sleep, but hopefully you can go have yourself a cup of coffee before the games tip off. We'll talk to you later.
I'm on vacation compared to Stephen A.
Oh, are you? In the month of March?
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.